Welcome to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene. Vegan Nation is an informational program about living the vegan lifestyle, featuring interviews with individuals and organizations who are practicing a healthy vegan lifestyle. The first Friday of every month, Vegan Nation offers a special feature, a two-minute segment of Alfie's Vegan Parenting Tips. Coming up is Alfie with vegan parenting tip number 4.
My name's Ha'el, and I'm vegan.
My name is Trail. We're vegan.
Are you vegan?
Mama, it's your turn to talk.
It's my turn to talk.
This is my mom, Alfie.
Okay, let's talk mushrooms. My kids love mushrooms. They have such an abundance of nutrients locked inside, and cooking them is your key. Particularly pertinent for us New England vegans is their vitamin D. Just as sunlight acts as a catalyst to our own bodies for vitamin D production, it affects mushrooms the same. You can even take fresh mushrooms after they're picked, put them in direct sunlight to boost the vitamin D level. That was Alfie's vegan parenting tip, but remember, there's more beneath the surface.
Thank you for listening. See you later.
Okay. Thank you for listening to my program. And stop eating meat and be vegan.
I think, therefore I am a vegan. World peace begins in the kitchen.
Welcome to Vegan Nation. In this edition, we are joined by my guest, Michael Landfield, via Skype in Toronto, Canada, where he was born and raised. Michael Landfield is a vegan author and filmmaker of The Interconnectedness of Life. After the break, joining us in the studio are Harry Sunderland and Eddie Raymond. Harry's transformation to veganism started after he was a worker at a hog CAFO, confined animal feeding operation, factory farm out in the American Midwest. And Eddie has lost over 100 pounds and no longer has diabetes due to his transition to a vegan diet and lifestyle. I'm very honored and very happy that Michael is joining us. Thank you, Michael.
Hi, Marlene. Thank you for having me on the show.
The message in your book was the same that I found in reading The World Peace Diet, and your message is beautiful. It is unconditional love. Can you expound on that some more?
That's the whole premise of the book, is unconditional love. And what does unconditional love mean? It means that there's absolutely no conditions to who we love. And so if we love, let's say, our family members, our sister and our brothers and our mothers and fathers and then our extended family and our uncles and so forth, and then go beyond that. So what vegans tend to do is include more and more beings into their sphere of compassion. In 2009, I had this awakening. I included all beings in my sphere of compassion. So that is what we're here for, is really take care of one another, to cause the least harm, and just do our best that we can.
And what can we expect from the film that you're working on, The Interconnectedness of Life?
It really goes into the depth of what my book describes. I had to get the message out for people to understand, like, what's going on in this world. Why are we so disconnected? Why don't a lot of us have a purpose or meaning in life? And this book really goes into the idea of, can we really transform this world from a killing machine into a benevolent paradise? And the answer is yes. And it will include a lot of ideas from the book, as well as from The World Peace Diet and other books as well. It'll also contain interviews, people that understand and know these issues and subjects. And so this year, and hopefully next year, I'll be doing the post-production for the film, and hopefully 2017 or 18 will be released. So it does take a long time, unfortunately, to create a documentary film, but hopefully it will awaken people to the idea that there is another way to live on this earth without killing, without using animals, and without using each other, and living in harmony with one another, and just seeing the whole world transform before our eyes.
Yes, I look forward to your film, Michael, because, again, I enjoyed your book, and your work is very comprehensive and very interesting, and you are very gracious to bring in many minds into your work as well, like Judy Carman and Dr. Karen Davis and Jonathan Balcom, to name a few.
The new addition, 2015 edition to the book, will be out very shortly. And The Interconnectedness of Life which my book is called. I started it in August of 2010, and it is available to purchase. I released it in December of 2014, and I decided that I was going to create a film, a documentary film, based on the book, not just the writing, but my philosophy and ideas that has gone into my life in the past 6 years as a vegan. It's just been fantastic for the past 6 years, so I'm thankful. And I'm thankful to be on the show because Vegan Nation is such an amazing show. And I love you, Marlene, for doing this show.
Thank you, Michael.
I actually came to the conclusion, or to the realization, more like it, in 2009 when I had the awakening and I went vegan. So I understood at that moment when I had this awakening that we were all interconnected. And so about a year later, when I started writing the book, that's the title that I gave it, The Interconnectedness of Life. And it encompasses all beings because we're all one on this planet, not just humans, but non-human animals, nature.
It was interesting for me to read it also from a Canadian perspective, but I didn't know, is it any different in Canada? And I come to realize it's all the same. It's all reducing a living being into a commodity, using her against her will, using her body against her will for her flesh, for her children, for her sexual secretions of menstrual secretions from hens, which is eggs, or lactation secretions from bovines, which is dairy. And so it was enlightening for me to see your experience in Canada.
Right, absolutely. And this is going on everywhere on the planet. And it's not just in factory farms, it's in small farms, it's everywhere. Because don't forget that all animals, no matter if they're on the most idyllic farms possible, they're going to be slaughtered anyways and killed way before their natural lifespan. And that's just tragedy. And wherever you go, I mean, I've seen a few years ago that even Greece is, and all other countries in Europe are so-called have these factory farms. And even in Africa has now factory farms. And I've seen videos on that undercover footage. So everywhere there's not only they're killing animals in their backyards, but they have these huge factory farms, which is like thousands, maybe even millions of animals. And I think that all animal farming is egregious anyways, because it's using the animal. It's taking their products, taking their lives. So I'm glad to be of service to the animals, and that's what I'm here for.
Yes, and I like also in your book that you highlighted the boomerang effect, that this violence, oppression, and exploitation of the animals in taking away their freedoms is what boomerangs back to human society. So if we want to help humans in all social justice issues, the abuse of animals by humans for food and research and entertainment and clothing, that is the root of it. We need to address it right at the root.
Absolutely. That's very true. Whatever we do to animals always comes back to humans. And it comes back sometimes even tenfold. The poor, defenseless animals, we can't imagine what they're going through, first of all, what they're going through. And when we take in, when we consume their flesh and secretions, we take in their fear, their anguish, their depression, all their emotions that they're taking in. But yeah, whatever we do to others always comes back to us. And a good book for that is The World Peace Diet. He goes extensively into that, Dr. Will Tuttle. And he has a section called As We Sow, So Shall We Reap. And that's really a profound section of his book. So I highly recommend that.
Yeah, I agree with you, Michael. I would also like to hear about your vegan online community, the Vegan Sandwich.
It's an online community for vegans and non-vegans. It has a huge plethora of content, such a huge Why Vegan section, forum, vegan directory, event listings, blogs, videos, you name it. It has it all. It's absolutely no cost. We're giving everyone this free content, and to get the message out. The animals are suffering, humans are suffering, the earth is being ravaged, so we need this message out, and it's a critical message too. We hope that everyone will join and partake in the forum and other sections to the website.
Great, and can you give us your contact information?
It's info@theVeganSandwich.com. For the book, it's weareinterconnected.com. You can go there and donate or contribute in some way. Share the Indiegogo link. It's on the main page there. And we really need support for the fundraiser that we're having. It's finishing June, or completing in June 19th. so we don't have much time left. We would appreciate any sharing of the link as well.
Michael, is there any other information that you would like to share with our listeners during this interview?
I think the most important thing really for people is to be open to the message, first of all, and to understand that there is another way to live in this world. It doesn't have to be violence. It doesn't have to be killing. We believe we are intellectual and intelligent. And are we? That's the question. Are we? I mean, we kill literally billions upon billions of defenseless creatures that have done absolutely nothing to us. I think the only way is really to awaken and to see ourselves in others, in all beings. And until that time, we're never going to solve any of our problems that we have on this planet. Wars or terrorism or environmental devastations or any of these problems that we're faced with on this planet. I hope that everyone does awaken. And I truly believe that. I'm very optimistic for the future. And I believe that a lot of people will awaken in the future. I mean, in the past 5 to 10 years, the vegan movement has really made tremendous strides.
Yes, you bring faith and hope.
Right.
For all beings.
That's right. Absolutely.
And I noticed that too, that in your writings, I really picked that up, that message of as we sow, we reap. And as we take away the purposes of the animals, instead of them just living their lives with their innate, mysterious purpose, that we've taken away their lives and made their purpose our purpose. And so then we have created a human culture where our purposes are taken away, where so many people are forced to work in conditions in 40, 60, 80 hours a week, being where they really don't want to be or doing what they really don't want to be doing. And it is the boomerang effect. We take away others' purposes and then ours are taken away. And so again, the solution is eating plants. And I loved how you included all the words about eating delicious fruits.
Oh yeah, that's what it is, delicious. I mean, I'm just thinking about it now. I'm like salivating over all the literally thousands upon thousands of different varieties of fruits, and not just fruits, but grains and nuts and seeds and vegetables and legumes. And it's like, wow, I got to go and eat now.
Yeah.
But that's very true. What you said, it's absolutely true. As we sow, so shall we reap. It's the boomerang effect, it's karma, whatever you want to call it. It comes back to us time and time again. We're all one on this planet. We came from the same source, and we are the same source. But we see ourselves as separate. If we really look behind the closed doors, we see tremendous violence and anguish and torturing each other and the animals and the earth. We will survive, but we need to wake up.
Yeah.
And
thanks to you, Michael. It's happening. Thanks to you for your activism. Okay, we've been joined by Michael Lanfield, a vegan author and filmmaker in Toronto, Canada. Check out his book called The Interconnectedness of Life and support his campaign for his production of a film under the same name, The Interconnectedness of Life. Thank you very much, Michael, for joining us on Vegan Nation.
Thank you, Marlene, and thank you, everyone, for listening.
It's time to take a break. After the break, we'll be joined by Harry Sunderland, who was a farrower at a hog confinement factory farm in the Midwest, and we'll also be joined by Eddie Raymond.
Hi, this is Judy Middleton from Western Australia. This is WCUW, Worcester 91.3 FM, community radio serving central Massachusetts.
Hey, this is Don on In the Tradition every other Monday from 7 to 9 here on WCUW 91.3 FM and serving the entire universe at www.wcuw.org. In the Tradition, we play folk music, we play country music, we play every kind of music that comes from the people. Join me. Have some fun.
Music in the air. Turn your radio on.
Turn your radio on.
Heaven's glory, share. Heaven's glory, share. Turn your lights down low.
Welcome back to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene Narrow. Joining me in the studio are my guests, Harry Sunderland and Eddie Raymond. Thank you, Harry and Eddie, for being here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Marlene, for the invitation and greetings not only to you but to all your listeners as well.
Harry, I'd like to ask about your living arrangement with Eddie.
I serve individuals with learning and developmental disabilities, and it was from that service to that population that I met my friend, and ultimately now he's also my housemate, Eddie Raymond. when I met Eddie, I was already a vegan, and I was a vegan for about 15 years. And he was on pretty much the standard American diet, SAD for sad. But he noticed that there was a contrast in our food. I would prepare whatever foods he required at the time. And when his meal was complete, I would also have a meal prepared for me. That was along the lines of a vegan bill of fare. And over a relatively short period of time, Eddie's interest was piqued. And he started asking me if I would share some of the vegan food with him. And I did. And Eddie, could you please share with the audience what happened when you started to enjoy some of the vegan food that I was sharing with you?
I stopped eating meat.
Yeah. And what happened? Did you feel better?
Yeah, I feel better.
Did you lose any weight?
Yes, I have killed diabetes.
So what do you mean? You don't have diabetes anymore?
No more.
Excellent.
I used to overweight. I used to like over 400.
Over 300, buddy.
300.
And when you started to consume more and more vegan food, you lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
You started feeling better.
Yeah, I quit smoking.
Oh, that's right. That's another thing you did. You quit smoking during that.
I smoked like 10 packs a day.
No, not 10, buddy. You smoked a pack at least.
A pack.
Sometimes more.
More.
Between a pack to 2 packs a day in your heyday.
Now I stop smoking. I spend more money on vacations.
That's right. The money that you save on purchasing cartons of cigarettes every month, now you put that in the bank, and you've taken some pretty outrageous vacations, haven't we?
Yes.
And now that you have good health,
you
can actually go out and really enjoy yourself, because before, you know, when you were over 300 pounds, you couldn't walk very well.
No.
Well, you were short of breath, and your knees hurt, and you didn't really feel like doing a whole lot, did you?
No.
But now, look at what we do now. We have a pretty awesome life, don't we?
I blow Chris away.
That's right. He's a friend of ours. And when we go walking, if he happens to be with us, he can't even keep up to you anymore, huh?
No.
But before you started eating vegan food, you two would probably have walked about the same pace, huh?
Yeah.
Now that you're fit and trim, and you've lost almost 100 pounds, and you've lost all those medical issues that were on your plate. You've dealt with them successfully. And how's it feel to be a new man?
Pretty good.
Awesome.
Congratulations, Eddie, on being vegan.
I want people to be all good vegan like that. Don't eat meat. Meat's not good for you.
That's
bacon's
so
not good.
That's so true, buddy.
That's right.
That's so true.
Speaking of bacon's not good, Harry, would you share with our listeners your experiences at being a factory farm worker at a hog confinement operation where you were a farrower, and then what led you into veganism from there?
Marlene, actually, that's my period of shame in my life. I'm not very proud of that. But I must say that it was definitely the catalyst to my own series of awakenings and my spiritual development. So that kind of gives me some hope that it wasn't all dark and gloomy. And all the stories that you hear are basically true. Goes on in those facilities. It isn't very pretty, and it's definitely not very respectful. Because we try to confine everything, we also create an environment that's not very healthy for biological life. That includes the workers in these facilities as well.
What is a farrower?
A farrower is someone who actually breeds the animals for the production bonds, and that also included artificial insemination. But we confined thousands of animals, and it was being in this environment that we were exposed as workers. A hog puts out 3.5 times the amount of waste as a human does. So when you multiply that by tens of thousands of animals, and this all goes into a trough system underneath the building, you're breathing all those fumes during the day, and you're also inhaling the feed dust from the conveyor system that delivers the feed to all the different troughs throughout the buildings. So when you combine those two, it really is a 1-2 knockout punch, especially collectively speaking over an extended period of time. And a myriad of health issues, as you can imagine, arise from that. You can develop viral, bacterial, and fungal infections that can be quite life-threatening.
Sounds like a sad situation for workers. And what about the animals?
Predominantly, there was females, as you can imagine, and we also had a nursery. The thing with production animals, they don't stay around very long. So even though they're highly medicated, we medicate their feed, we medicate their water.
When you say nursery, it sounds like it's a nice thing. Well, what is this like for all these female mother pigs?
The babies are removed from the mothers right at the time of wean, which can be anywhere approximately around 21 days plus or minus, depending upon the sow, the condition of the sow, the size of the litter. There isn't a whole lot of mother piglet nurturing. The sow is pretty much restricted into her movement and to how much availability the piglets have to her. So they miss out on that nurturing
and that bonding experience with their mother.
What was your experience with these individuals?
Remember, I referred to that as my period of shame. So that implies that there was a certain amount of insensitivity on my part, that I didn't really view them as life forms. I just looked at them as the bottom line. This was my job. We needed to produce a quota or above. It was work. I didn't try to look at it in any other way. I don't really think you can when you're in that type of an environment. It doesn't really lend to making any kind of attachments with these animals because they're not going to be with you long. It's not designed like that. It's designed to get them at a weight where we can move them as quickly as possible. But you know, the divine and nature has a way of seeping through seemingly some of the most impossible environments. You have these little snippets of interactions with these animals and you start to realize they're sentient beings. They feel, they perceive, they think, and they have an understanding as to what's happening to them. And I think it was when I reached that level of understanding that's where it started breaking down for me on a personal level. I started to doubt what I was doing, and right about that time I started feeling pretty poorly as well. That's when I was diagnosed with farmer's lung at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, and they had pretty much written me off. I was on a drug protocol that you just could not imagine. The future didn't look very promising. It was rather bleak. That was the turning point for me. When I looked to something bigger than me, I turned to something spiritual, and I asked the divine for help. Those were the first steps I took into veganism, and that's how I was led and am led to this day.
And what thoughts or words do you have for the dominant carnist culture?
I've learned through all this to be an optimist, as you can imagine, through this journey. I had a very dark period, and there was a lot of guilt and whatnot. And in order for me to cope with all of that and to make some peace with all of that, I understood that I had to start looking at it a little bit differently and started gleaning something positive from this. And now I'm actually grateful to that experience and the love that those animals showed me, because they were the ones nurturing me along my journey. I do believe animals were put here for a purpose. In what I learned, they're compassionate teachers, and they have a message for all of us, individually and collectively, if we but have the ears to listen and the heart to open. And once you make that connection, there is no going back. There is no justification anymore about what you're doing. You've opened to that love, and you've embraced that love, and it will change you. I was a hunter, a fisherman, so I'm not coming from any higher holy moral ground here. And if I can make a transformation like that, then that's the hope that I put out there. That if somebody can come from my background, initially starting a journey of health, but through that journey, I found that there's a way that I can take care of this bio vehicle that I'm in without asking another life form to die for me. That gave it even more significance to me. So it was no longer just a physical well-being that I was seeking, but it was also a spiritual well-being. And I could see the connection, and I could see that if I truly wanted to nurture that connection and explore it deeper, then I had to respect all life, because all life is a manifestation of the divine. There's a divine spark in all life. And that's what I try to see on my walk through my journey of my day. That's what I offer to anybody who's hearing this now. Like I've said to Marlene kind of laughingly in the past, I said, there's only two kinds of people on the planet. There's vegans and there's pre-vegans. We will all wind up in the same place. We will all return to love. And love does not kill. And love does not torture. And love does not degrade the quality of life of any other species. Love heals, nurtures, and holds up. And that's the model that I try to follow. And that's how I glean my peace from my past, because I can see the love that was present through it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Harry. And thank you for being an influence on Eddie. And Eddie, at the close of this interview, do you have any words for our listeners about animals?
I hate it.
I know. But look at all the lives that you're affecting when they see how you're living now, and all the people that come up to you and say, oh my God, Eddie, how good you look. Right? And that's an opportunity for you to share your story and to plant those seeds. You don't ever have to feel bad about that, buddy. Never, ever. It's Eddie, all good.
Eddie, the animals love you.
I know.
You are so good to them, and you help them, and you feed them.
I know. It's so hard for me.
Marlene, do your listeners know that our friend Eddie over here rescued a horse that was destined for death and destruction because it was deemed it no longer had any value?
An ex-racehorse, Eddie, rescued a racehorse.
I'm sorry to cry.
You don't ever have to be apologizing for showing emotion, bud. You know that.
Up to me about the, you used to work
okay.
At the hog farm, really, Dad.
I know.
I feel bad for the you used to work out there.
I know, buddy.
Because I feel bad for the hogs.
Me too.
Right in deep inside. I don't want to hurt no life form.
No.
I don't want to. I'm not hunting. I don't fish. I don't do nothing.
I know, buddy. And I'm happy for you for that.
Eddie, Harry's story brought tears to my eyes, too.
I want to say to the people out there to listen, do not eat any hamburger. Don't hurt any life forms. Do not eat meat. Meat's not good for you. The steak's not good for you. Mm-hmm. Hamburger's not good for you.
Thank you for sharing that, Eddie. I agree with you.
Eat french fries like I'm serious. Just eat like sweet potato french fries and eat raw broccoli.
Yes.
You love broccoli,
yeah.
Don't you?
And try the vegan ice cream somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're talking.
Mm-hmm. And what about whoopie pies?
Whoopie pies. Go get some vegan whoopie pies for people. I'm serious.
See, with all that really awesome vegan food, who has to go anywhere else for anything, huh, buddy?
Vegan food.
Thank you very much, Eddie and Harry.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marlene.
Thank you.
And namaste to you and to all your listeners.
Listeners, have a good blessing and have a good evening.
And thank you to all our listeners for tuning in to Vegan Nation. You are listening to
WCUW 91.3 FM.
Join us next week at this time, where we'll bring you more news on living a vegan lifestyle. Hear this program again at wcuw.org/vegannation. Theme music provided by Will Tuttle. This is Marlene Narrow, wishing you a good day.